Now we're going to move into environment, sleep, stress, and then some specific protocols. Let me just remind you that the information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's also not medical advice. It's just a sharing from my knowledge and information that I've gathered over the years, research I've done, clinical experience I've had with thousands of patients. It's my sharing to you. And what I recommend that you do is really research, look at your own body. If you're under the care of a medical practitioner, be sure to bounce these ideas off of them before you make major changes to your diet and lifestyle. So let's go to environment. We talked a lot about the environmental exposures in the detox. So I'm not going to go through what all these chemicals are and where they are in your cosmetics. Really talk to people about what they're using on their skin and in their environment, because they can be endocrine disruptors. So what exactly is endocrine disruption? When you hear, oh, that's an endocrine disruptor or a hormone disruptor, they actually mimic the natural hormones. So they actually can bind to the receptors and displace your natural hormones. And they can actually mimic some of the signaling, and it's usually the negative signaling. So usually the alpha type signaling versus the beta type signaling. When you have things that are endocrine disruptors, they also may affect metabolism, the phase two liver detoxification of those hormones. So it may interfere with methylation or interfere with sulfation or mess up the glutathione and the way that glucuronidation ends up. They can also modify the number of hormone receptors available. It can damage hormone receptors, so that would be considered an endocrine disruptor. All of these different chemicals affect things in different ways. Not all are xenoestrogens in the sense that they mimic estrogens and bind to receptors. Some damage the endocrine system by actually affecting receptors, causing damage to the receptors, stimulating the release of other hormones, and affecting the endogenous production of hormones, decreasing them or increasing them. So there's a variety of that. We could spend a whole semester course on the toxicology of the environment related to estrogens. I don't think you're here for an exhaustive study of this stuff. If you are, then that's a great place for you to research. We need to know what we need to know to help people. We need to know as much of the underlying chemistry as is important for helping people and keeping them safe. So here are some of the antiprogestins in pollution. So if you remember what the progesterone molecule looked like, we're going to see that there's some similarities here. So there's DES. DES was a hormone given to pregnant women to prevent miscarriage long before they knew the damages of it. Many people, including friends of mine, are suffering from the fact that they were given DES. Their moms were given DES while they were in utero, and it predisposes to all these kinds of estrogen-related problems with breast cancer and other kinds of cancer, uterine cancers, and a whole host of other things. Very damaging. DHT is found in some pollutants. DDT, different kinds of DDT, methoxychlor, deldrin, some of these are pesticides, some of these are like HPTE, which is plastics, DDE, bisphenol A, which is even in dental fillings, you've got bisphenol A. So these are all pollutant-related antiprogestins. These are going to interfere with the metabolism of progesterones. We talk a lot about xenoestrogens, and we don't hear a lot of talk about xenoprogesterins or antiprogestins, however you want to call them. But they're basically molecules that will inhibit utilization and the function of your natural progesterones, and they should be avoided as much as possible. This is just a little blurb on how DDT affects progesterone. All of the others have their own ways of doing it. DDT was banned a long time ago. However, it's still in the soils, and it's still not banned all over the place. So you can still be getting remnants of DDT. DDT collects in breast milk, so it can be particularly damaging to infants who have slowed down and not very efficient immune systems to begin with, and their detox is not going to be as good as an adult. So this thing can be really damaging. It doubles the time that cortisol stays elevated in your bloodstream. Well, what does that mean? Well, all those damaging effects of cortisol that we always talk about, right? Increasing your blood pressure, increasing respiration, increasing blood sugar, decreasing digestive function. DDT affects that. Well, then the cortisol then elevates and binds with the progesterone receptors and blocks the progesterone from binding. So stress then also, so DDT does this, but stress also will bind with those progesterone receptors and block the progesterone from binding. And of course, our old cortisol steal, these pregnenolone steal, cortisol steals the precursors and disrupts your sex hormone synthesis. So what xenobiotics are hormone active? So we've got a lot of chemicals and products in our environment, but which of them are xenoestrogens? Which of them are disruptors and hormone disruptors? So first of all, they're all over the place. They're in the environment, they're in industrial pollution, they're in metabolites, they're in products, they're found in home cleaning products, they're found in air fresheners, they're found in your garage and the pesticides and things you might use for lawn care. And I'm not saying you might use it. I use the you lightly. It's the people that you're working with. It's found in the foods and pesticides and preservatives in foods and also in the containers that are used for the foods. It's found in outgassing from computers, cars, rugs, shower curtains, paints, wood finishes, personal care products, a lot of makeup and vitamins and drugs and hair care things and body lotions. All of those have high levels. And finally, tap water. So you can see these are around us all the time. We're constantly trying to keep our hormones safe against odds. And this is where helping your people to understand all this is going to be really valuable. So John Lee, who was one of the first docs to start talking about progesterone and the value of progesterone. I heard him speak at a seminar. It was a CCN type seminar a few years back. And he talked about a lot of the problems we're seeing with our patients is because they were exposed in utero to the toxins and the endocrine disruptors that their moms took in. Well, of course, the extreme version of that is the DES daughters. They were exposed to extremes. But our moms who were, my mom was smoking cigarettes and eating a lot of junk food. I was exposed in utero to a lot of toxins. They can actually damage the follicle cells in the ovaries of the growing fetus. So now if you're having endocrine problems, you're having problems with your cycle, you're having menstrual disorders, you're having menopausal disorders, or your patients are, you want to look back, it could be because of something that happened in utero. We just have to do what it takes to make up for it. He said that women used to make progesterone, and that's what they're supposed to for 12 to 14 days of the cycle in the luteal phase, that he's finding that a lot of women are only doing it for 2 to 3 days. So when you look at those cycles, instead of it looking ideal, like in the picture I showed you, that's causing a problem. There's a lot of infertility. There's a lot of recurrent miscarriage. A lot of problems. And it could be all because of the exposures that you had in utero, especially during the first 6 to 8 weeks of pregnancy. So that's that. Not a lot you can do about that except for make up for the differences. These are bisphenol-like compounds. So you could see the closeness of the bisphenol with the estradiol. And the DES and all these others, you can see how closely tied they are and why they would trick the receptors. So how do you cope with endocrine disruptors? Well, you teach people how to read labels and seek natural alternatives. Don't buy anything with polysyllabic words that you can't even pronounce. Look at air filters in the home and in the workplace to protect from those environmental toxins. Keep the garage door closed between the house and the cars. The fumes from the cars themselves, once you park the car, they're outgassing for hours. Keep your windows open, even in the summer. If you can't stand the heat, then open them at least for several hours a day or at least 20 minutes. We haven't been using our air conditioner in the downstairs part of our house, and it's gotten up to be over 100 degrees, and it cools down a bit at night. We keep the ceiling fans on and we keep the windows open. Eventually, we'll have to turn it on. I think we're experimenting. My husband's gotten into the game. I used to be the only one, and now he's like, I'm going to see how long we can go without using the air conditioner. We use it when people come over. We have a big house full of people because obviously all those extra bodies. Or when it rains, you have to shut the windows. But keep your windows open for the ventilation. Encourage people to do that, even if it's just cracking it in the winter, cracking it in the summer, opening it for 20 minutes. waiting for the house to cool down and then turning the air conditioner off so that overnight you're opening the windows and getting in some good air. I know here in Texas, people run those air conditioners 24/7 for 6 months of the year. I kid you not, I go to people's houses in April, they're already running their air conditioner and they don't ever turn them off. And it's freaking cold in there. So helping with their detoxification, their daily food choices. Remember one of the first modules we talked about, everyday detox. The things that they can do on a day-to-day basis to enhance detoxification. Adding broccoli seeds and milk thistle and all kinds of nutrients and superfoods that will help the detoxification. Making choices, staying away from the stuff that's disruptive. And regularly taking them through a deeper detox program, whatever they're ready for. And you know how to do that. You've learned the basics of detoxification. You've learned more than the basics of detoxification. Let's talk about the importance of sleep. We'll go into exercise, and then we will go into some protocols. The first 4 hours of sleep is the most important. Your immune system is on overdrive and helps you to fight cancer, especially if your omega-6 balance is off. So you have too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3. It's really important to get those first 4 hours of sleep to be deep. The next 4 hours, you're integrating everything else. You're integrating the emotional stuff. B6 affects sleep. B6 affects the way you dream. B6 affects the neurotransmitters, the serotonin and the melatonin that affect your sleep. So if you have light at night, according to David Blasky, a PhD MD, he wrote this. I thought it was a little extreme, but I really can resonate with it. That light at night is the ultimate endocrine disruptor. And if it was a drug, the FDA would make it illegal. So there's all these kinds of things that you can do to create a safe and healthy sleep environment for your patients. So digestion is super important for keeping your hormones balanced and safe. You have to be able to absorb the nutrients to protect your receptor activity. If you don't have good digestion, if they have leaky gut and they're not absorbing well, not going to happen. The gut has more receptors for estrogen than anywhere. So if that's disrupted, it's going to affect overall the estrogen metabolism and lead to higher levels of the bad metabolites. The lining thins with age, and you have to be able to look at that and help them to repair that. Vitamin B1 is really good for repairing a thinning gut lining, as are some other things like arabinogalactans and glutamine, slippery elm, marshmallow. You need to have them work on gut flora and the enzymes. Cortisol erodes the lining of the gut. We know that. So all these things put together say, make sure their digestion's working.